and welcome to a special edition of the D1 Baseball Podcast. I am your host, Michael Patrick Rooney, the third out of the fighting city of Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. That's a lot of information, but we're going to run with it. Joined by the great Aaron Fitt, as always. And this is a special Driveline edition of the podcast. So we've got some of our good friends at Driveline with us, Alex Caravan, Devin Rose, Kyle Lindley. We'll let these guys introduce themselves in a second here. But gentlemen, excited to have this conversation because it's so timely. You know, we're at the end of the college baseball season, and just being very candid, this is a point in the season where we start to have some uncomfortable conversations about pitch usage, you know, pitcher usage and arm care and those types of things. And the misinformation just, you know, multiplies itself. It grows exponentially. And certainly you guys are folks that we need to lean on and want to lean on in this area. So before we jump into that, hey, Alex, I want you to kick us off. Just give the listeners a quick background, and then Alex will go from you to Devin, you to Kyle. Just a quick background on your guys' role at Driveline.
Yeah, what's going on? Glad to be back on. Alex Caravan, Director of Data Science at Driveline. Been on this podcast a couple of times. I was going to say, I've gotten some requests on who won the SeaWorld draft last time we all recorded together.
I can tell you who didn't win. Although my boy Omar Quintanilla, no, not Omar. What is Quintanilla's first name? Omar was the shortstop.
Cole Quintanilla. I almost did that yesterday. I almost made the same mistake.
Did play in the big leagues with the Rockies, so we get that going for him. But yeah, Cole, I don't know if you saw that, Alex, but my man Cole Quintanilla was dealing in the College World Series until that last slider. But anyway, I know I didn't win. My picks were heinous.
Yeah, you rest your case. But I got the calculations going on in the background. I'll spit them out next podcast.
Thank you.
But I'm dying to know.
Yeah. Devin?
Yeah, Devin Rose, throwing trainer here at Driveline. I've been with Driveline for about 2 years now. So my main role is basically just training the athletes. But in addition to that, I oversee a lot of the MODIS stuff that we do both in-house and externally, just like talking to different users, getting feedback from them, trying to figure out like how can we share this information in a better way so people can learn more about workload management, and then like how can we make this product better so we can see more people using MODIS.
What's going on, guys? Kyle Lindley, Assistant Manager of Sports Science. I also do a lot of the biomechanics work here at Driveline, and moving into more of a MODIS specific role, talking about how we can kind of improve the workload side of MODIS, and also maybe introducing some new metrics. How can we report on this information and everything? So excited to be on today.
Awesome. Hey, and guys, I know we were going to save this, but let's do it right now. We're later in the conversation, we're going to talk about, you know, imminent changes to MODIS and then the future of MODIS, what that's going to look like. But for a listener that doesn't know what MODIS is, can you, and maybe Devin, you could kick us off. Could you just give us like a baseline definition? Let's pretend I've never even heard the word before. What exactly is MODIS?
Yeah, so MODIS is essentially this little sensor that will have a strap and we'll put it on your arm, and we have this set position, basically this set distance from your elbow. And then every time you make a throw, this sensor is just collecting information about like, where's your arm moving in space, like how fast, all that good stuff. From there, we're basically just detecting when does a throw happen, how intense is that throw? And then we can kind of take each of those throws throughout a day, run it through a whole system with like different algorithms and calculations for workload, but essentially get a better idea of like how much throwing are you doing, how intense is it, how do the day to day, throughout a day, all that good stuff.
Cool. All right, so there'll be a lot to unpack there, and that's a good baseline for us right there. Hey, and Fitzy, I want to have you jump in on this point. Guys, I'm going to make a point about end of the season. You know, all these, you know, I end up taking a lot of screenshots on Twitter about outrage on, you know, pitch counts and those types of things. And it just, we're in this really weird place when it comes to pitch counts. And we're going to talk specifically about college baseball where, you know, the number 100 is a number that is just loud. I actually think it's loud mostly because it's a third digit, not because it's an actual data point, but that maybe it's both. I also think that everyone, every rational person would admit that every pitcher's mechanics create different stresses. You know, there are different pitches within the status of a game that are more stressful versus others. You know, I also think that, you know, a blown out elbow is not a car accident injury. You know, a lot of times it's wear and tear over a long period of time. But we really, like when we talk about pitch count, we always focus on one day. We never talk about the previous 364 days. So anyway, we rational people can agree to all these things. But then when we see 122 pitches for Jack Leiter, we freak out regardless of whether we've seen even one of those 122 pitches. And so, Fitzy, I'd love to get your comment on that. You know, arm care is important to the game. We want to be, good protectors of these pitchers, but it's complicated. And I feel like we admit that it's complicated, and then we could quickly defer to oversimplification.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And I'm really excited to get the perspective of our experts here, because, you know, I have my own opinions. And you know, one thing that I always try to tell people is you can't just say, oh, well, they never throw 124 pitches in the big leagues. Well, first of all, we're talking about throwing every 7 days versus every 5 days. That's, for me, that's number one thing to get across. It is not the same thing. You can't just look at the way the big league pitchers work and the way college pitchers work. Number two, I mean, every guy is conditioned differently. And like you said, I mean, you know, Trevor Bauer is the ultimate example of somebody who trained totally differently. And even when he was at UCLA, you know, a program that I think has a great track record of protecting arms. And, you know, John Savage let him do his thing. You know, he had a lot of high pitch counts week after week, and he never broke down because of the way he trained and you know, just the way he was built. And so for me, the thing that always gets my hackles up, and I'm very interested to see, you know, to hear what you guys think about this, is when you've got, you know, short rest. Like I get much more upset about a guy throwing 119 pitches in a regional game on a Saturday and then coming back on one day of rest and throwing again on Monday, you know, and I know a lot of times coaches will say, well, it's his throw day, you know, whatever, it's the same. That to me feels like more of a red flag, but I'm curious what you guys think about all of those points.
Yeah, Alex, you want to kick us off? And the first topic, I think I love the way it was phrased. You know, it's kind of pitch count versus workload, and what are those two things? But go, you kick us off, Alex.
Yeah. A couple of points on what you touched on, Fitzy. 120, or I think 124 pitches letter through. So I think 120 kind of originates from the smart pitch rules, or pitch smart rules, the general guidelines, which I think was based on some ASMI research, but it's nothing's 120 is not effectively a very concrete number. It's still fairly arbitrary. So a lot of what we talk about when it comes to that being like the absolute cutoff is still a line of subjectivity. I like to think of a pitch count as more of a range sort of thing anyways, rather than someone must throw absolutely this many pitches. If they go over, all of a sudden this is the danger zone, when, and you know, realistically there's a gradual kind of scale where more and more workload might lead to more chronic injury, more acute injury. But one of the key points that you talked about, and that I think we really dig into with our use of MODIS and our push of MODIS research, is that what you do on the other 80% of the days matters a lot. It's not just about throwing 124 pitches on day five, but also, did he throw a 30 pitch bullpen in day one through four? Did he ramp up properly? Has he been ramping up all season? What was his offseason like? Did he build endurance during the offseason? All of these are like kind of elements to consider that we as spectators, and many times even experts in industry, don't really know unless we're actually physically the ones programming him and making sure that on-ramp does happen and he can handle a load. Because clearly different people can handle different loads. So it doesn't make sense for there to be an arbitrary cutoff that every single person should adhere to when people go through different programming and workload management.
Love it.
Also,
go ahead, Kyle. Yeah, go, please.
So I was going to say, I also think it's really interesting that you brought up Trevor Bauer, because he's one of the bigger proponents of, he wants to be able to throw every, I think, fourth day or something and throw on shorter rest, because he just wholeheartedly believes that he's built up a lot of volume in his past. He can handle a lot of workload. And I think that's a really good example of somebody, just like somebody who is a little bit different than the rest of the pack probably, and might actually be able to handle what we would all assume to be kind of a ridiculous pitch count and throwing schedule. So I just wanted to drop that in.
Yeah. Hey, Devin, let me throw a question at you regarding MODIS, because I think this, what Alex and Kyle just said, takes me back to that original point. We would all agree that every pitcher is unique, but then, you know, the pitch smart stuff wants to slam the same limit on everybody. And it's just so counterintuitive, but it's almost like it becomes a crutch. So, but is MODIS a tool that can help a coach or you guys really start to measure who's capable of a greater workload versus others, or does it create a baseline?
Yeah, so I think determining like maybe who you could give more or like expand from where they're currently at, having like longitudinal information from a tool like MODIS along with their pitch counts and innings pitch, like more subjective ratings as well, like how they're feeling, you could maybe start to determine if you want to add or take away. But I think the biggest thing currently that you can do with it is just get a better idea of like what is actually happening on the day to day. So I think it's like kind of a two piece thing. One piece is, well, what are they doing right now? What's actually occurring? Because I'm only privy to the pitch count or innings pitched or something like that. I miss a lot of the before game, between innings, in the bullpen, all that good stuff. So step one is just like getting a better picture of what happens day to day. And then that second step is basically what you're alluding to, which is, well, can I give this guy more? Should I take away? And I think that comes down to getting more like long-term data on specific guys, pitchers in general, and just like us getting a better idea of like, what is good or bad? Do we see when we include pregame workloads or like total throwing volume that these pitch counts are still like more predictive of injury, or like that seems to be the cutoff, or if it doesn't hold as true when we account for the these other things. So I think it's kind of like a two-step process there.
Also, really quickly, I was just going to give a little bit of context on what MODIS is for some listeners if they haven't really put it on or measured it. It gives out arm stress values, elbow torque, arm speed, shoulder rotation, and arm slot. So you just put it on during a session. We have our athletes put them on during warm-ups, during pivot picks, during a bunch of plyo care drills to really accurately measure everything. And then, you know, that we kind of, it generates a couple acute chronic workload ratios, and one day workload is called, and then chronic workload that kind of gives you an idea of an on-ramp and how much workload is like per workout per day. So that's kind of how we like the idea behind MODIS and why obviously it's very relevant towards measuring workload.
I think it's like there are a couple key value adds, I think, with MODIS is that you're able to, it's like I like to think of it as a really, really enhanced pitch count, because it really does count your throws, but it also gives you what the intent was of that throw. Was it max effort? Was it half effort? Was it somewhere in between? And then also if it's convenient enough to wear, you're just able to capture outside of just the pitch count. So warmups, bullpens, plyo care balls, all these other ones. And that's just even on game day. So it can include anything and everything in between starts or in-game outings. So I think thinking of it as a very enhanced like pitch count and throw counter is something that makes it easy to conceptualize for me.
Love it. Hey, let me do this, guys. I want to kind of fast forward to our second topic, which is, you know, workload management at the College World Series. But, and I'm going to phrase this a certain way, and Fitzy, I want you to clean this up I think this is something you and I talk about a lot. But you guys take this wherever you want. I'm going to ask the question, but you guys can go anywhere you want with this question. So in the postseason in college baseball, there are two scenarios where I start to get uncomfortable. The first one is the one Fitzy mentioned a minute ago where, you know, a pitcher throws Friday. It's, you know, it's a weekend arm starter. He throws Friday in game one of the regional, or even Saturday, because the coach is kind of pitching off to try and go 2-0 in the winner's bracket. And then that pitcher comes back and throws in relief on Monday. So that's one scenario. The next scenario is, you know, that's the one, quite honestly, guys, makes me the most uncomfortable, because what often happens is that works. And then that pitcher is going to go right back into a super regional the next weekend. So the stress level is increasing and we're doing things we haven't done before on the way into a more stressful situation. So that's number one. Number two is what I think Kumar Rocker is going to do, which is, okay, he threw Saturday in the College World Series. Then he threw Friday. You know, for me, that's not super uncomfortable. It's, you know, once a week, once every 6 days. That doesn't feel like a major, change in his routine. but he's probably going to throw next Wednesday if it goes to a game three. Now, where I can kind of get myself past that one is that's probably the last time Kumar Rocker is going to throw a baseball for a long time, right? Like that is literally the last game of the college baseball season. So my question to you guys is, and Alex, I'll have you start and then we can kick it around to Devin and Kyle, is, okay, look, should those situations make me uncomfortable? Or do you guys think, hey, like you know, you're only seeing that day. Like you're only talking about this player's game day. And there's so much more to arm care than game day. So that's part one. And then, you know, the Kumar Rocker example I gave you guys, the fact that next Wednesday would be his last outing of his season, is that a real data point or does that not matter?
Yeah, no, I think it's a really good question. And I think both parties can kind of, you know, have a viewpoint that gets validated by the data. It's possible that is a, you know, it's possible he's been on-ramped correctly and that works for his workload. It's possible he hasn't. So, it's really, really tough, like you said, from our viewpoint and not seeing every single throw on every single day to really tell. I tend to think that a valuable arm like that, there will be a higher onus on colleges that do use our MODIS technology and are able to tell, because that takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. People can look at what's been the average torque across his workouts. Look at average torque from that game or from game one, from last series. Is that much higher than his other games? Does that indicate that he's, you know, that much closer to chronic injury? Okay, then maybe you make that decision to keep him on pitch count or take him out earlier and care for his arm health. Otherwise, again, like a lot of guesswork has to be done, really close chronicling of every single throw thrown. And at the end of the day, a sensor is going to be able to measure more stress impacted on the elbow than the human eye.
Yeah, for me, one of the things I would want to know, and like as a coach would probably consider when making that decision, is kind of like, what does that athlete's routine look like typically before they're like in between starts? So, you know, every guy's a little bit different, especially in college when you typically have a whole week in between. Some guys might throw two bullpens. Some guys might only throw one. Like every guy kind of has what feels good for them, what they prefer, what they like. So that's where I think having the actual information to say, like, how much throwing do they typically do between? What's the intensity of those bullpens? Like another consideration is some guys are really light and easy in their bullpens, right? Like touch and feel. Maybe just get the feel for like spinning their off-speed pitches and move on. Other guys want to kind of ramp it up. So those are all like considerations to have. And I think in a situation with Rocker specifically, if you make the decision that you're going to bring him back on short rest, that's 100% going to happen. You've made that call. Then I think it's changes to what are we going to do between now, that Friday game and the Wednesday game, to make sure we're not overdoing it, but also not underdoing it. Right. So if he typically throws a bullpen at this point in the season, like, does he really need that middle bullpen to feel good for the start? Or like, this stuff's probably pretty dialed at this point, so I want to maximize what I can get out of the game on Wednesday. So maybe we reconfigure that between start routine a little bit, just to make sure we do feel better about him pitching in the game. And maybe it comes with a lower cap at the peak for the number of pitches or the number of like throws you let him make in the game. But I think there is a way you can configure it, knowing like, what does he typically do? What does he feel comfortable doing? Making changes that way. Cause some guys are just like creatures of habit. Pitchers sometimes don't want to change the routine. So that's another consideration as well.
I'm also, I don't want to make it seem like a 120 pitch or 100 pitch outing and then a 20 pitch outing the next day isn't a stressful thing. Like it's very possible that could hurt somebody. It's very possible that they're not prepared for it. But what I like to think about is it's how you prepare in the last month or two to build up to this workload. If you know you're a contending team, you know you might be going into the postseason, you can't just baby your arms. And I mean, for a college team, you could probably, with one of your stronger arms, make sure he doesn't get hurt, make sure he's not uncomfortable. You could probably throw him, or he can choose to throw a pretty low pitch count throughout the whole season and not consciously worry about getting hurt and whatnot. But in order to put yourself in a position to go into the postseason strong and be able to handle these kind of wacky workloads, you just have to make sure that you're being cognizant of how you can build up your throwing fitness, how you can get your body used to throwing a high volume of throws, and so you can be more flexible with your workload with doing things like Devin was talking about in between starts, when you do know, when you have made a decision about what you're going to do with your pitching staff.
Yeah. Fitzy, you know, it's an interesting data point for me on this one, and we're picking on Kumar Rocker just because, you know, there's only two teams left, but I'm curious if you agree with me, Fitzy. He looked fairly physically gassed, not like arm gas, but it was a very humid day when he pitched on Friday. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, NC State was using their skeleton crew. They had 13 players, and, you know, it was a crazy day. But did you get that same sense, Fitzy, or was that just me?
Yeah, I mean, he definitely had to labor, you know, once we got through the second time in the order. And you're right, like, it was humid, it was hot. And I think he struck out 8 of the first 9 batters in that game. And so, you know, pitch counts are getting up there a little bit. I think he was through 5 innings, he was already close to 900 pitches, which tells me that that's probably, you know, fairly taxing on a day like that. So I think that's a good read, Runes. But I do think his stuff still looked pretty, you know, normal.
Yeah. It seemed like a really hot day. I mean, I felt like I was laboring through the day, and I was sitting in the press box sipping coffee. So what, I mean, come on. Alex and Devin and Kyle, let me ask you guys a follow-up question on this. I feel like the stuff you guys are doing, MODIS, the training mechanisms, you know, the athletes are smarter, bigger, faster, like everything is better, but the pitch counts that the general public is comfortable with are the same, right? It's like when we get to a third digit, we are immediately uncomfortable. My mom, who doesn't know how many balls there are and how many strikes there are, if I told her that you know, somebody threw 105 pitches, she'd be aghast, right? She doesn't even know what she's aghast at, but you know, she'd be aghast. And so that also feels counterintuitive to me, that these athletes are so much more disciplined, so much smarter. They've got third parties like you guys that can, the training is so, it feels infinitely better than it was 20 years ago, but the pitch count comfortability is almost identical. And so, like, are we going to get to a point where, hey, these athletes are just, they're better than they were 20 years ago. They're more physically fit. And so maybe it's 140 pitches, or are we at just kind of like a human threshold, like the 4-minute mile? I'm curious your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. Because there's a few factors at play, right? Like athletes, pitchers are throwing harder than they used to. So they're also putting more stress on their arms and exerting more energy. At the same time, people used to have higher pitch count decades ago because there was less info about arm health or less thought towards that. And then we've almost yo-yoed back to now that we know, like, okay, pitch counts are a thing and workload management is a thing. And also, like, players do get hurt when they get overworked. We yo-yo back to, okay, like this is like a strict mandate. This is what it should be. So I think obviously overreacting to it that much is a little bit, you know, less precise when fitting each athlete's workload. So it's a good question. I think likely what the real answer is that we have more diverse athletes than ever. Like we see it across many sports too, like not just baseball. Athletes are getting bigger, faster, and stronger across all major sports. Superstars are having their primes last longer than ever. LeBron, Tom Brady, it's just, you know, Mike Trout has a pretty crazy string of 10 worst seasons. I don't think there was like any lock the first 10 worst season he put up that he's still going to be like this good 7 years later. But I think likely there are definitely types of athletes now that can handle pitch counts much above 120. I do believe we have enough like diverse athletes with enough physical qualities that they kind of don't fit the cookie cutter image we had before.
I think there is probably also still a lot of athletes who wouldn't be able to handle that as well. So yeah. I think pitch counts, even though we are progressing and we're especially not at this point in the season, we're seeing the best of the best. They probably prepared better than everybody else. I mean, their success is no surprise, or it's they definitely worked up to get to this point. So I think in the sense of the total pitcher population in college baseball, I think that the pitch counts might be all right still. They might be decently calibrated for when you don't know how well somebody prepared, or if they're using a good throwing program, or if they're paying attention to pitch counts and workloads at all. So I think that's one of the major problems, I think, with pitch counts is that humans are just so complex, and there are so many factors into everything that goes on in baseball and performance, and especially injury, that I think that is like one of the primary downfalls of using a hard cutoff, a hard threshold number like pitch count.
Yeah. Hey, Devin, let me fire a question at you, and you can piggyback off that previous question if you want. So if I'm a listener and I'm learning about MODIS, I'm very intrigued because I'm thinking, man, okay, like that's a tool that the best college programs ought to be using, right? Like it's like a whole nother level of education on how to care for an arm. How does that work? Is that something that the major college programs can orchestrate through you guys, or how does this tool get to the college pitcher?
Yeah, so currently, and kind of jumping ahead in topics with like new things to come with MODIS, is we're working on putting it to be more integrated with our software Track so that it can be easier for those coaches to use. But really it's open for any coaches to buy. We have some resources, some blogs available on like, what do these metrics mean? We're working on putting out more content on like, how could you use this in like an off-season program, in season, like leading up to the preseason, like on-ramping guys. There are a few colleges, a few programs where we have data of them using it to on-ramp their players before the season, even for this season. We don't work directly with them at the time, like giving them support on a day-to-day basis as far as the workload values. But in the future, having things more integrated into Track in that software, being able to kind of pair these different data points, like hopefully we can provide more like help and support on that end as well.
And Track being TRAQ, which is your guys' software platform that a coach, because obviously, you know, we don't want coaches out there with doing all this on a yellow legal pad, right? Like that I've not seen it with my own eyes, but that's what I'm picturing. Is this something that really helps a coach just can deal with all this data?
Yeah, a little bit.
Go ahead, Alex.
No, so I was going to say a little bit more kind of large scale infrastructure wise. We have MODIS. We have MODIS API that feeds into Track directly. So any team or facility that has a bunch of MODIS users can associate all their users through Track. All that data will be auto-populated in the Track. We have a couple really cool features coming to Track that's going to include, one day workload, just like as a number popping on the calendar, ability to kind of mass associate Track workouts with MODIS data and get average stress per workout, trend lines, a bunch of stuff, key in on metrics, team trends, all that kind of stuff. And we've actually already had a few teams. We've had some schools and some pro teams be running like a pretty larger MODIS implementation where they have a couple dozen traps, especially in the minor leagues too. We have a pro team that has MODIS as a requirement, I think, in certain minor league teams, just to improve compliance and collect more and more data points. So we've been very happy with how we've been able to implement it on a team scale, and we're definitely excited to keep improving that as we roll out a bunch of features.
Love it.
The platform itself has been awesome in the last 3 years or so. We acquired it last year, and we acquired it because we knew it was a good workload management tool. We knew this was an important thing to Track, but there are some kinks in the platform that make it a little bit difficult to use, a little bit difficult to get onboarded, to understand it. So one of our biggest things right now that we've been working really hard on in the last year is making it easier for those organizations or facilities or teams to use, so that you can just have athletes wear the sensors, and then when they're done with it, put it on the charger, make sure all the data is in where it needs to be, and then the data is all showed in one spot, so you can evaluate everybody's workload and make better and more informed decisions for your team.
Love it. Hey guys, let's wrap it up with this. What is, I'm curious, I feel like you guys have alluded to a couple of these things in your last several comments, but I'm curious, like, hey, what's coming down the pike for MODIS? What are the things that are new, but also like, what's the vision? When I hear you guys talking about this, it's exciting. And I feel like as a college baseball junkie, like I want every college pitcher in the country you know, using MODIS? Like, I, you know, maybe that's, you know, overly ambitious from a scalability standpoint, but maybe it's not. I don't know. So yeah, I'd just be curious, and maybe Alex, you kick us off, but what you know, what's coming down the pike and what's the ultimate vision for this?
Sure. Yeah. I'll have Devin actually talk about straps and Kyle, if you want to talk about the weighted ball correction, and I'll pop in with some of my ideas as well on what we got coming down the pipe. Cause we have some stuff that we're kind of talking about now, and we have a few things that are kind of right around the corner.
Yeah, so one of the big things we wanted to do was kind of change how the sensor is placed on the arm. So previously, just like your typical compression sleeve that you'd wear on your throwing arm, there's a few issues with that we kind of got in feedback from users and just internal testing, which was the elastic would kind of stretch out and then gets loose, the sensor kind of moves around. And obviously, this is all predicated on having reliable data and good data to make these inferences and decisions based on workload. So we ended up trying a few different things and found kind of just like a little forearm strap was good at holding the sensor in place. Athletes seem to like it. It doesn't bother them when they're throwing. They find it more comfortable than the sleeve. So that was a big thing for us, just making sure if we're going to use this information, like how can we make sure the data is reliable and actually accurate when people are using the product.
And as far as the weighted ball stuff, so as you guys probably know, and many of the listeners probably know, Driveline uses a lot of different ball weights in our training program. And we have our biomechanics lab that we can use to understand the pitch, understand mechanics, and understand how throwing those weighted balls affects especially the elbow torque and just stress on the body. And through various studies, we realized previously MODIS wasn't necessarily accurately showing how a weighted ball actually affects the workload that is put on the body when you're training with weighted balls. So we were able to make this correction and make sure that when you throw an overload ball or an underload ball, it's not inaccurately estimating how much workload you're going through. So that's going to be something that should hopefully fine tune people's throwing programs and workload estimates so that they can hopefully optimize how much longer they can go in the season and how many and reach these higher pitch counts and throw more outings.
And future of MODIS wise, we're constantly experimenting with different things that we want to try. We have MODIS running in our R&D lab where we have our motion capture technology, a bunch of other different technologies that track every, you know, each player's movement. So one thing we want to kind of really push towards is using MODIS to give you an idea of where you are. Like, are you over pushing your body? Do you have more in the tank? Are you being onboarded appropriately? So some of the proprietary stuff we're working on right now is getting an idea of estimated or expected stress that should be on your body after a workout based on each player's historical data, our whole population of trend lines and data points from. At this point, I think we have nearly like 20 million MODIS throws to draw from and run our own models and metrics. So we expect very soon for there to be like an expected stress estimate, and then for players and teams to use that to appropriately escalate or de-escalate someone's throwing program and get an idea of where they are with their bodies.
Along those lines, we have this fancy biomechanics lab. We're able to learn a lot of things, and MODIS is something that we hope to use to kind of extend those insights and extend those findings to people who don't have access to a lab like this. So I think that's one of the bigger channels that we hope to grow in the next few years.
Yeah. Let me do this, guys. I get two takeaways, and then you guys, I'd love to, you to have some final comments on these. So, you know, it is number one is learn. The more I learn about what you guys have going with MODIS, the more excited I get, because it just feels like information is king. You know, I think you might have said it earlier, Alex, or maybe it was you, Kyle, where, you know, it's easy for the general public to perceive that people are just guessing, but they're not guessing. There's so much information, and MODIS is a perfect example of that. And I think, you know, we've almost gotten to the point where, you know, Fitzy and I will watch the College World Series finals, and, you know, like Kumar Rocker thrown on Wednesday, I'm turning into a guilty pleasure. It shouldn't be that. Like, this is an elite athlete who is trained at an Olympic level, who is trying to accomplish something that's really hard to do. And isn't that kind of what this is all about? And so I leave this conversation almost feeling like, I'm going to focus on the pleasure part. Like, forget the guilty part. Like, we know Vandy is amazing with arms. We know they're on the cutting edge. And I'm just using Vandy as an example. So I leave this conversation much more excited to watch the College World Series finals because we are so far, you know, the advancements that have been made in arm care and workload management are massive.
Yeah. I think that's a fine takeaway to walk away with. Also, like with most things, a lot of times just watching the game isn't enough perspective, and you can only stress about so many things. It comes from, you know, even on a larger point, just divorcing the art from the artist. But no, I mean, I think if you have faith in the college or your team or whoever you're rooting for, that they care about all the training science that's coming out and, you know, care for their athletes and doing the best they can to put their athletes in the best position, that's definitely a good place to be in. Obviously, things happen either way. Injuries happen all the time. Just because someone can track every single detail of MODIS and still get injured, obviously that's the case and will continue to be the case. But the most we can do is just maximize our probabilities. If something like MODIS helps you and your team, you know, stay healthy and protect those arms, or gives them the best chance of staying healthy and protecting their arms, then I think that's like something a fan can take solace in and feel more confident.
And I'll jump in here and say, I agree actually with the takeaway here. I also feel like, I feel more optimistic about kind of the state of college baseball after just listening to you guys, because I know there are a lot of coaches out there who are working with you guys and taking your guidance and putting your resources to use. And so, yeah, I mean, it's funny. Somebody asked Chris Lemonis about, you know, the availability of Will Bednar, who threw on Saturday for Mississippi State. Will he be able to come back and pitch, for instance, on a Wednesday? And you know, Lemonis, I think he was being genuine when he said he wasn't sure. I mean, they've managed his workload very carefully all season. He's actually seldom thrown over 100 pitches, which, you know, I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Is you know, to make him more or less conditioned to come back and, you know, on 3 days rest in the College World Series finals. I guess there's a school of thought that says maybe he's fresher. I don't know. I mean, it's like you guys have pointed out repeatedly, so much is dependent upon what happens in between. And we don't know that, but it does feel like that's another staff like Vanderbilt that has really done a great job nurturing their arms. And, you know, and you just got to trust in the stewards here to take care of the guys that are under their care.
One of the things for me is all of these coaches, I think they genuinely want the best for the athlete. And, they're all historically well known for like taking care of their arms. And so I think they likely have their own heuristics, their own rules, guidelines that they're already using. So for me, it's just like, how can we provide them even more insight or like better data to then still develop those guidelines that they're following? Because I don't want to insinuate that any coaches are doing anything wrong or that like they're doing exactly right as is. I think it's just like starting to peel back some of those unknowns that we have and allowing those coaches to like continue to develop like their guidelines and thought processes for the pitchers that they have.
Yeah, I like what all you guys said. I'm going to kind of back up what Anthony and Devin both said is how you can manage workload really well without MODIS. Like it might take a little bit more effort. You could still count pitches and accurately estimate how much throwing is going on between starts and everything. You can also use MODIS and not manage workload well if you don't use the numbers or whatever. But basically what this platform is doing is, again, to what Caravan said, just hopefully giving you the best probability to make that good decision and make that right decision, whether or not they should throw this day or how much they should throw to lead up to the postseason. So I think that's the main thing, just giving more information. You know, it matters. We know that building up throwing fitness matters. So let's just measure it. And then hopefully we can use it to make better and more informed decisions in the future.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's why what you guys are doing at Driveline has been so critical for the sport and continues to move us forward, because, you know, in the absence of data and information, we just go on emotion, right? It's like we turn to Twitter for answers. And that obviously is tragic in a million different ways. So this, what you guys are doing is awesome. I love how you guys continue to take these breakthroughs and make them scalable. And it's amazing how quickly it's getting to the athlete, which is just, it's awesome. So these conversations are always really fun for me. I always come into them fairly intimidated. I always leave them more excited and optimistic than before, which I love. So yeah, really appreciate you guys, being with us. And again, we really appreciate the partnership with Driveline. You guys, this has been great for D1 baseball. Our listeners love it. You know, people, these podcasts that we do with you guys are immensely popular. And because I think there's a lot of people like Fitzy and I that we want to be less confused, right? We don't want to be the emotional Twitter reactors. We want to build up our baseline of knowledge. And certainly I don't know that we can ever catch you guys, but that's why we just invite you on the podcast and then you guys can speak and it's all good. So awesome.
Yeah.
Hey, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say last line. I was just going to say next year we'll be drafting C-War players based off their MODIS numbers. Just yes. Wait on it. We'll see who got their workload managed the best over the offseason.
I don't know if any of you guys are European soccer fans, but I'm concerned, Alex, that I may get relegated, that I may be in some junior varsity C-War draft due to poor performance. So that would be bad. I'm the Sunderland of the Black Bats. So any European soccer fans might get that reference.
I certainly did not, Runes, but I like where your head is at. I will say that, Runes, you looking over your picks. Yeah. I mean, you're really leaning on Cole Quintanilla, but my picks, I had some hits and some misses. So I can't wait if we get the results on the next, podcast here. But one guy on my team, I will tell you, was Mr. Rocker was on, yes, Team Fit. Oh, so that helps my cause right there.
That sure does. So
awesome. Thanks so much for having us on, guys. This is awesome.
Yeah. Good stuff, guys. Appreciate it. To all the listeners, appreciate you listening, tuning in, and we will catch everyone next week. Have a good night, you guys.
Take care.
All right. We'll be right back.